The Lord bless you, heart dwellers. It's August the 19th, 2015, and I want to make a quick announcement. Some of you have written to us by mail, and we haven't gotten a chance to answer you yet. So forgive us if you don't get a reply from us this month, because we've just been a little bit on the side of overwhelm. But we will get to you next month. The Lord bless you. Anyway, I wanted to share with you tonight what the Lord had brought up. Yesterday he had me post something about Mark Verkler, Communion with God Ministries. And he has a very special gift in leading people to communicate with the Lord, two-way dialogue back and forth. And it's interesting because a lot of what he talks about is exactly what I've been sharing with you all these months. But he has a slightly different angle and twist on it, and I think it'd be really helpful for you. And tonight the Lord asked me to share just the information from his flyer, which will be available as a PDF. And along with that, to share with you my experiences along the same lines. So we'll get right into it here. I wanted to say that there's something so timeless and ancient about the simple steps I've been teaching you to enter that quiet place with God. And if you're convinced you'll never be able to hear him, maybe you should switch to a different channel, because on this channel, the Lord is determined. And now he has brought another teacher to share with you the simplicity and promise that we can all speak with him and hear his voice. So he's not relenting on this, guys. For those of you who think that I'm a privileged character, the Lord is going to convince you otherwise. Mark begins by giving a short testimony. He tossed and turned in bed, unable to fall asleep, and a thought kept going through his mind. What if I died tonight? I'm not ready to go to heaven. Since I could not shake the thought, I got up, went downstairs, and waited for my parents to come home from their meeting. When they did, I announced that I wanted to get saved. And they took me straight away to the pastor's home, where he explained the plan of salvation and led me in the sinner's prayer. I was 15 years old when I accepted Jesus into my heart as my Lord and Savior. And that was God's voice speaking to me that night, calling me into his kingdom. His voice came as a spontaneous thought inside my head. However, I didn't define this as the way of God's voice is heard until I had completed a desperate 10-year search to hear him clearly. He went to universities and got degrees and came out and decided he was going to spend a whole year just listening for God's voice, because he was really, really desperate to hear the Lord. And a lot of you guys that aren't, that say you are not hearing the Lord, are in the same place. The thing is, you are hearing the Lord, you just don't recognize him. And this is what Mark is good at, getting you to recognize his voice. Christianity is unique, he says, among religions, for it alone offers a personal relationship with the Creator, being here and now, and lasting throughout eternity. Jesus declared, "This is eternal life, that they may know God," John 17:3. Unfortunately, many in the church miss the great blessing of fellowship with our Lord because we've lost the ability to recognize his voice. So John 10:27 promises us that my sheep hear my voice. Too many believers are starved for that intimate relationship that can alone satisfy the desires of their heart. And I was one of those sheep who was unable to identify the voice of my shepherd. I hungered for deeper spiritual intimacy with God, but I could not find it. Then on the 11th year of my Christian life, I had the spontaneous thought, I should take a year of my life and focus on learning to hear God's voice. He decided to act on that thought and devoted a year of focused effort learning to hear God's voice. unknown to him, it was the Lord's voice calling him to invest that time. So that idea that came to him was a spontaneous thought, and it was actually the voice of God, but he hadn't recognized it yet. So that's what he did. That year, the Lord revealed four simple keys, all found in Habakkuk, the second chapter, which unlocked the treasure of his voice. Using the four keys together allowed me to easily hear God's voice on a daily basis. It was the most transforming step I had taken in the 45 years of my Christian life. And I'd like to share them with you so you can try them and see if they do the same for you. Okay, so here he starts going into the keys. Key number one, I guess. It doesn't have a number on it, but key. God's voice in your heart often sounds like a flow of spontaneous thoughts. And I'd like to share with you an example there. There have been a couple times when I've thought to myself all of a sudden, you know, I should go to the store and get those eggs now so we have them for tomorrow morning. And I'll go to the store and the Lord will have someone there that needs ministry. And I'll realize that that spontaneous thought about going to the store and getting eggs was actually the Lord's voice setting up a rendezvous with me and another soul that needed prayer. Habakkuk knew the sound of God speaking to him. Elijah described it as a still, small voice, and I had always listened for an inner, audible voice. And God does speak that way at times. However, I found that usually God's voice comes as spontaneous thoughts or flowing thoughts. For example, haven't you ever been driving down the road and had a thought come to you to pray for a certain person? Didn't you believe it was God telling you to pray? And when you heard that, what did his voice sound like? Was it an audible voice, or was it a spontaneous thought that lit upon your mind? So here's a really good point. People think that I hear the Lord's voice very clearly. Well, sometimes I do hear his voice clearly, but most of the time it is a spontaneous flow of thoughts. Today, when I was in prayer, all of a sudden I realized I could feel something tugging at my heartstrings, and I realized it was the Lord trying to interject a word. So I shifted my attention to him in a special way, the tune in mode. And he was talking to me. And pretty soon I was able to see his face as well. As through a glass darkly, guys, not like he's sitting on the other side of the room from me or that he's sitting next to me. I mean, there are times when I get glimpses out of the corner of my eye that he's here. And when I'm writing down a message, I'll see his face. I'll see him leaning over my little stand here next to my computer, smiling and making a point. When I get stuck on a point or a word, he'll repeat it until I write it down. And it's a very gentle, spontaneous thought. It's not a crystal clear conversation like you and I are having right now. It's not an audible voice all the time. In fact, more often than not, it's spontaneous or flowing thoughts. Okay, experience indicates that we perceive spirit-level communication as spontaneous thoughts. Have you ever been in a room with someone and all of a sudden you just knew what they were thinking? Maybe it wasn't a pleasant experience for you, but I have had that. I've had that experience. Or like if you're with your husband and all of a sudden you feel like a hamburger and he says, you know, I really feel like a hamburger tonight. And that spontaneous thought comes up and you were both thinking the same things at the same time. Or if you're worried about someone or a situation and it's on your mind, you're doing whatever you're doing around the house and your mother or friend or whoever comes over and says, you know, I've just been thinking about so-and-so. And you say, you know, I've just been thinking about them too. Maybe we should pray for them or call them or go and see them. That's the Lord's voice. It's a spontaneous stream of thought. So that's spirit-level communication. We perceive that. And it comes to us as spontaneous thoughts and impressions and visions sometimes too. And scripture confirms this in many ways. For example, one definition of paga, a Hebrew word for intercession, is a chance encounter or an accidental intersecting. When God lays people on our hearts, he does it through paga, a chance encounter thought, accidentally intersecting our minds. We consider it a chance encounter in that we didn't reason it up, didn't come from us. However, it is purposeful because God sent it to us. How many times have you heard the phone ring? You'd been thinking about someone for 2 or 3 days. All of a sudden the phone rings, you pick it up, and it's that very person. Oh, I was just thinking about you. That is a spirit-level communication in as spontaneous thought and or impressions. And that's exactly what God's voice sounds like. It's very subtle, but it's also gets your attention. It's also so clear. Therefore, when you want to hear God's voice, you tune to chance encounter. Okay, so you've got a little channel on your radio, and one says, barking dog, which you tune out, screaming baby, which you tune out, traffic noise, you tune out, and chance encounter, you tune in. And that's a very, on a very subtle level. So you tune to chance encounter, spontaneous or flowing thoughts, and you make your mind focus on that. To pay attention to those when they come drifting through your mind. Even Satan's thoughts come to us as spontaneous thoughts, which is why we are commanded to take every thought captive. Now, I'm sure all of us have experienced spontaneous evil thoughts coming to us. Oh, yes. Even attacking right in the middle of our prayer and worship times. Mm-hmm. So I conclude that analytical thoughts are mine, and spontaneous good thoughts come from Holy Spirit, and spontaneous evil thoughts come from evil spirits. Now, this gets into discernment, and I've gone over this with you before, and how to recognize the voice of the enemy. And he does that a little bit here. God's thoughts line up with Scripture, with his various names, Comforter, Counselor, Teacher, Giver of Life, Healer, Deliverer. His thoughts edify, exhort, and comfort. They are pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering. That's James 3:17. And the main characteristic of the Lord's voice is peace. It's peaceful. Very peaceful. And it's, as far as, you know, what it sounds like, it's gentle. It's very gentle. Now, Satan's thoughts line up with his various names and his character. Accuser. Oh, that person is doing such and such. Yeah, you know, I mean, or oh, that person's a criminal, or oh, that person's a witch, or something. Okay, so Satan's thoughts line up with accusing other people. Adversary, a thief who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. His thoughts condemn, bring despair, rejection, fear, doubt, unbelief, and in general, misery. Satan's thoughts bring jealousy and selfish ambition. In a nutshell, you know, I would say that Satan's thoughts jar us loose from peace, and they get us into a form of anxiety, any kind of anxiety or worry or fear. Those are the number one characteristics of Satan's thoughts floating through our mind. That's why I've told you so many times before, if you've got fear, all of a sudden, you've got a demon involved in sending you that fear. That's a demon's voice. He uses Habakkuk, the second chapter, for his model of hearing God. Habakkuk said, I will stand on my guard post. Habakkuk knew that to hear God's quiet, inner, spontaneous thoughts, he had first to go to a quiet place and still his own thoughts and emotions. Psalm 62 encourages us to silence our souls before God. There's a deep inner knowing, a spontaneous flow in our spirits that each of us can experience when we're quiet. Our flesh is quiet in our mind. If we're not still and quiet, we will sense only our own thoughts. Oh, I've got to do this. I've got to do that. Oh, I forgot this. Oh, did I leave that burner on? I mean, it'll go on and on endlessly. Those are our thoughts. Now, this is what he says, and this is what I have been teaching you through dwelling prayer. Loving God through a quiet worship song is one very effective way to become still. And I prefer at all times to approach the Lord through worship. That's just what I've experienced and what I feel. I mean, there doesn't have to be, you know, music or worship through music. It can happen spontaneously where you just feel something tugging at your heart. And it's the Lord wanting, it's like the Lord tapping you on the shoulder and saying, I want to talk with you. Tune in to me. So he says, loving God through quiet worship is one very effective way. And I so totally agree. He says, after I worship, I become silent within. I open myself for that spontaneous flow. One thing the Lord told me was that music transports a person out of himself. And that's one reason why it's so powerful. Because it can bring you into a good dimension or an evil dimension. But it transports you out of your present state of mind. He continues, if thoughts come of things I've forgotten to do, I write them down so I can do them later. If thoughts of guilt or unworthiness come, I repent thoroughly, receiving the washing of the blood of the Lamb and putting on his robe of righteousness. And seeing myself spotless before God. Now, this is a very important point that he just made, because when I'm dancing with the Lord, I always have a spotlessly beautiful dress on. I'm totally clean and glowing and spotless. And he presents that image to me while we're dancing together to help me see myself clothed in his righteousness. He's the one who picked those robes for me. And everything is perfect about my being, everything. And I believe now, after reading this, it's because he wants me to see myself in his righteousness and see myself spotless before him so that I can relax and receive from him and not be hiding like Adam and Eve had to hide in the garden because they were naked. So clear focus provides the purest flow, he says. To receive the pure word of God, it is very important that my heart be properly focused as I become still, because the intuitive flow comes out of the vision being held before my eyes. So now he's talking about vision. If I fix my eyes on Jesus, the intuitive flow is pure and comes from Jesus. But if I fix my gaze on some desire of my heart, the intuitive flow is affected by that desire. To have a pure flow, I must become still and carefully fix my eyes upon Jesus. Hebrews 12. So that's very interesting, because what have we talked about in dwelling prayer? That a pure heart is at the absolute top of the list. And the scriptures say, the Lord said, blessed are those who have a pure heart, for they will see God. Wow, that ties in so perfectly with what he's saying here. So a pure heart is a heart that is not focused on its own agenda, on its own issues. A pure heart is focused on the Lord and what's important to him. And so that disposes you to seeing the Lord. Now, all of us have a vision of what the Lord looks like in our hearts and our minds. All of us have a picture of what the Lord looks like. We've seen it before. And I would ask you here, please don't get caught up in all kinds of doctrine talking about how we're not supposed to have any images of anything on earth or heaven, in heaven. If that held ground and stood, the Lord never would have described the mercy seat with angels on either side and all of the other shaped animals that were in the temple. He never would have done that if that were totally true. So that's overdoing it, guys. The enemy knows how powerful an image is. An image of God is very powerful. An image of a woman scantily clad is also very powerful. So the Lord has given us eyes and visions in the spirit to help us to focus on him. You don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. We have photographs of our children. We don't worship those. They remind us of our children. That's an innocent thing. Where we get into trouble is when we start making serious life decisions so that we can have that expensive hot car or that big house that we really can't afford, and we're putting everything in subjection to being able to get that mansion or get that car or get whatever it is that we are lusting after. Those are the real idols. A picture of your children is not an idol. A picture of Jesus is not an idol. Those just remind us of who he is to us, who those souls are to us. To receive the pure word of God, it's very important that my heart be properly focused as I become still. Because the intuitive flow comes out of the vision being held before one's eyes. In other words, if you have a vision of the Lord in your eyes, that's where the flow is going to come from. And if you have a picture of something, a dress in a catalog or a car, you know, or a set of golf clubs, then you're going to be focusing on the world and your intuitive flow is going to come from the world. But if you fix your gaze on desire of your heart, the intuitive flow is going to be affected by that desire. So to have a pure flow, I must become still and carefully fix my eyes on Jesus. So he has his eyes fixed upon Jesus in order to receive that pure flow of thought from Jesus. Quietly worshiping the King and receiving out of that stillness. He prays the Our Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And Jesus taught us to begin prayer by lifting our eyes to our Father and beholding him. We don't start prayer with our issues. We start our prayer by gazing upon God. That's beautiful. I really like that. And that's what I do when I put on worship music. I immediately start looking for the Lord in my vision because I know he's there. Until he makes himself very clear to me, and he's always at my right. Okay, and then another key, fix your eyes upon Jesus and ask to receive visions. Habakkuk said, I will keep watch to see. Habakkuk was actually looking for a vision as he prayed. And that's just what I do when I go into prayer. I'm looking for that vision because I know Jesus is there. Since I believe the Bible is meant to be lived, I decided that I too would begin looking with the eyes of my heart into the spirit world to see what I could see. This is Mark talking, right? The techniques that we use are very, very similar, and I think for good reason. I think that they're solid and they're scriptural. And it's interesting how many parallels there are between Mark's teaching on this and our teaching on dwelling prayer. And then he goes on to say, do what King David did. A good way to begin using the eyes of your heart is by doing what King David did. For David says of him, I saw the Lord always in my presence, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. The original psalm makes it clear that this was a decision of David's, not a constant supernatural vision. He decided that he would see the Lord at his right hand. Literally, I have placed the Lord continually before me, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. You know, it's kind of funny because when I go to the store or I'm out running around and doing errands, I think to myself, I wonder if the Lord is here or whatever. And I look out of the corner of my eye and I see him sitting next to me without his seatbelt, by the way. I see him sitting on the right in the passenger seat. And when I make the effort to focus and to see if he's there, he's there. So it's a matter of seeing the Lord always in your presence, because he is at your right hand. And there's so many scriptures about him being at our right hand. Many, many scriptures about that.